The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode. Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
don't! It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3. KTAR.
And welcome to another edition of the Computer Corner. Data Doctors. Hello. Rented lips today, huh?
In the house.
In the house.
You know what helps?
What?
If you do data dot doctors. See, it forces you to separate.
I don't think so.
But that's not really a URL.
No, we are, in fact, the Data Doctors. We're here to talk technology with you for the next couple of hours.
Not just you.
You
encourage
you.
Your friends and relatives that are still around for the holidays.
Yeah, it would be nice to have more than three people listening, huh?
It's educational. It's entertaining. We promise you will learn at least one thing if you listen for 2 hours. If you listen for more than 2 hours, well, we won't be on, but you'll still learn something.
Here's what we're going to try to learn you today. All about Cyber Monday, or really... kind of dispel the whole Cyber Monday thing.
Yeah, is it only Monday? I mean, really? Couldn't it have already been Friday?
Well, I mean,
Thursday, by the way.
Black Friday is the busiest shopping day of the year, right? Wrong.
Whatever.
No. It's a marketing program that's got a lot of people hopped up, and
it works.
Some small percentage of people are willing to get up. The rest of us are going, uh-uh.
You know what's fun? Is to get up, but don't go out... The deals are false deals. I mean, come on. If you haven't figured that out by now, there's a few. And if you're willing to really wait in line, and some of these people waited from like 7 p.m. the night before to 12 hours. Are you kidding me? The deal's just not that great. Look at $20 is what you're saving, maybe. You're going to wait 12 hours. What's more fun is to watch people that go out and do this. It's just crazy.
That's what the newscasts are for. You just watch the newscast and you get enough flavor of that.
No, doing it live, there's something about that. You got to do it once.
You know, the trick about Black Friday is you do your shopping on the outskirts of town instead of doing it at a Target right here in Phoenix.
No, I think the trick, the real thing that you want to focus on Black Friday is to get in a round of golf. bowling. Clean your toenails, pretty much anything other than...
Sleep in.
There you go. That's a good one. You know what? To your point, you can. A handful, a minuscule percentage of the people that went out there got fantastic, what are called loss leaders. There's a couple things, especially in the electronics world. You have to understand some of the basics of the business model in the technology world so that you can understand what is possible and what is kind of not possible.
Unpossible.
Possible, yes. We're gonna expose to you the impossible business model. The average margin, when you go to buy a piece of electronics, especially computers and digital cameras and that type of thing, the average margin that you're looking at, margin meaning the percentage between what the retailer paid for it and what they're going to sell it to you for, 8, 10, 12%.
Versus, let's say, furniture, clothing, those kinds of things. Clothing generally has some of the largest markups. You walk into a Dillard's, a Macy's, a pick-your-department store, and you buy clothes off the rack, even on sale. Huge amounts of margin, over 100% generally.
And so they have lots of places to have, 40% off sales, and they're still making money.
40% off on the thing, plus you can use your 15% off, plus if you sign up for the card, 10% off, they're still making money.
Whereas in technology... there is no such thing, truly, as a 40% off sale when it comes to a product.
No.
You can get it on services, but products, it's impossible because the margin isn't there to begin with. So anything that's being sold at 30 or 40% below actual street price is what's called a loss leader, which is why there's only five of them.
And you'll see commonly that if you read the fine print, it's with either... something we call bundling, which comes in big in the consumer electronics world, or it's with some kind of other thing you must sign up for.
Subsidies.
Like a contract on something long term, or it's almost always one of those two things And those that thing that you sign up for could also be an extended service plan, whatever. But it's almost always a package deal in some way, shape, or form.
So let's talk about Cyber Monday, since Black Friday's over and whatever you did, you did, and it is what it is. Now let's talk about Monday. The term Cyber Monday was coined in 2005 by, oh surprise, the Online Retailers Association, some working group, Association for Online Retailers.
Basically a group that has Amazon.com and all these other big retailers.
Shop.org. Yeah. And it was based on, hey guys, look, there's a slight uptick in activity the Monday after Black Friday. Wow, that must be a really big online shopping day.
What day could we call that? Black Friday is already out. Black Monday wouldn't make any sense.
It is
Cyber Monday.
Just like with Black Friday, Cyber Monday is not the busiest online shopping day of the year. Much to the, well, you know, they stopped saying that, but I think that's the notion that people have, is that my best deals, I'm going to get my best deals on Cyber Monday.
I've seen a lot of places now going to, instead of a Cyber Monday, it's a Cyber Week, because we need an entire week dedicated to deals.
The reality is online, the busiest time period is between the 5th and the 15th. And in fact, if you want to know year by year which days were actually the busiest, like in 2008, it was December 9th. It was a Tuesday.
Almost always when you look at those dates, it's almost always a weekday. And a big part of what I've heard reported, and whether there's truth or not to it, is be careful. In the world we live in today, where unemployment's high and employers may be looking to do some either scaling back or maybe some replacements, since there's such a large candidate pool out there, this year may be a year that people are going to crack down. Employers are going to crack down on those of you who decide to partake of Cyber Monday, Cyber Tuesday, Cyber whatever day of the week it's going to be that is when you're supposed to be working, but instead getting your shopping done. That may just be the excuse they're looking for to eliminate your job, your position.
Whoa.
Yeah, so be real careful this year.
Didn't even think of that one.
And maybe, you know, the internet is 24/7, and the 24 part means that on your Cyber Monday, it can be at 7 p.m. after work, 8 p.m., right, or 5 a.m. before work, or whatever it is, or right now.
But 2007 Cyber Monday was the 2 weeks before Christmas. Mm-hmm. The online world is quite different from the brick and mortar world, because you have to have enough time for the product to ship. And that's another scary thing. The further you go into December, the closer you get to, I got to have this in my hand, the more likely you're going to have some issues there.
And some of the retailers will start to take advantage of you, where you're going to pay more
right
towards the end,
because they know
substantially
you
more, and they'll start doing things where they're jacking up shipping rates. They're going to do all kinds of things because they know that you're in a panic. You're shopping there for a reason. You're freaking out, and they're going to gouge you. So if you're going to get in the cyber world, whether it's Cyber Monday or Cyber Saturday, get there early. Don't wait till the last minute, procrastinator. Right?
We are a nation of procrastors.
Procrastors?
Yeah, that's a procrastination. It's time for a break, isn't it?
It is time for a break. We're going to procrastinate, and we've taken the break late already, so Pete's unhappy. We got lines open, 602-277-5827. It's the Computer Corner. Robert, Ken, Brandon back after this.
So we have Black Friday, marketing term, has nothing to do with the busiest shopping day. We have Cyber Monday.
Marketing term
has nothing to do with the busiest online shopping day. We have Green Monday.
Green Monday, that must be new. And
that was coined by Amazon because that's the Monday 2 weeks before Christmas. That actually generally is the busiest online shopping day from a revenue standpoint. And then there's Brown Monday, which
is the
Monday.
It has nothing to do with like buying green, you know. Like,
no.
Oh, going
no,
green.
Conscious.
No, Amazon said, we're going to see the green.
Uh-huh.
They say green, money, money, money.
Uh-huh.
And then if you're really interested in getting the best deals online,
yes,
you should wait for Brown Monday.
Brown
Monday. That's the Monday 1 week before Christmas.
Oh, what can Brown do for you?
Yes.
I bet UPS is happy about that, but the purple and orange guys probably aren't.
Yes. It's historically Brown Monday is when shoppers are offered the most aggressive promotion and discounts because you're basically getting to the end of the line. In other words, after that Brown Monday, anything that's purchased, typically, it's real likely that it's not going to make it in time.
Right. So if I'm Amazon.com or whatever, I'm in charge of a product category, whatever it is. If I haven't met my sales goal, my quota, whatever it is, however I'm measured, however I get bonused, it's time to pull out all the stops in every area I can because I need to stimulate as much additional business this last day. Because after this, I'm done.
What so? If you're really trying to get the very best deal,
yeah,
then you got to ask yourself, do you feel lucky?
Well, do you, punk?
Because you have to deal with, okay, we're out of stock on that one. If we had any left, we'd give you, right? So the real thing is the stuff that you know is going to be in high demand, don't wait. Get that stuff. The stuff that you know is just going to be...
What's going to be in high demand?
What's the crazy Juju pet or something that's already $10 pets are going for $45 and you can't find them anymore? It's a kid thing.
I'm still out of the loop.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's an Elmo thing. I'm sure there is.
That's the Juju pet or whatever it is.
Every year there's always one. Yeah. And I always look at it and go, I don't get it. Why? I'm sure someday I will because my kids will be interested in that one thing, but... So far, it hasn't happened.
Yeah, you've been lucky.
Yeah.
Lots of links and resources for you to really understand how much of this is hype and how much of this is real. And what is it that you really should pay attention to and what is it that is, it's just marketing.
Those links and that information, by the way, datadoctors.com/radio. And you'll also find places where you can follow us through Facebook and Twitter and iTunes, listen to the podcast, the show, whatever. The show is not just Saturdays between 12 and 2. The knowledge, the experience, what we have going on happens all day, every day. And so those are ways to stay plugged in between.
24/7. I rarely tweet in the middle of the night, but, if it's a good one.
You never know.
We got any phone calls?
We've only got one. I don't think people, maybe we give out the number one time and they're thinking, oh, it's always busy. Or maybe it's the day after Black Friday, the day after.
How about this? Anybody out there listening, we love doing this every year. If you're out there shopping and you're standing in front of two different items and you're trying to decide what they are, call into the show. Say, let Pete know, hey, I'm at the store. I'm trying to figure out what's going on with something. We'll be your real-time live online research.
That's right.
The most interactive research you could possibly have. I mean, faster than the internet.
You got item A, item B. Which one is it, guys? You got three guys here. Plus, all of our Google resources. And, we'll help you make a decision or tell you to back away from both. 602-277-5827. Of course, your call, your question, whatever, doesn't have to be about that. It can be about whatever technology is frustrating you or something that you're considering getting for someone that has to do with consumer electronics. And you're wondering, is this really even the kind of thing? When should I wait? When's the best deal, do you think? That kind of thing.
Or if you found a good resource, like I'm really lazy, so I like sites like Woot.
Woot. It's not a lot of selection, but...
WOOT.com. There's one item for one day.
It's generally a good deal if you're interested in that item, but about 80% of the time it's not going to be an item you care about. And you don't get to know what tomorrow's deal is. You don't...
It's speed shopping, though. You look at it and go, not interested. Or, click, let's go.
Yeah, good deal.
Good deal.
Act while, because it's right now, it may not always be for the entire day, by the way. If they run out, they run out. So if you like it, jump on it immediately, and otherwise, go back the next day, see what else is there.
When they're gone, they're gone.
Cool stuff. Phones?
Sure.
We don't have a ton of time, so Peter will already be mad at me, but we're going to grab Adrian just to find out what her question is.
Let's get a tease.
What his question is? His or her Adrian?
Yes.
Yes, him. His. See, it says Adrian, you never know. What kind of question do you have for us when we come back on the other side of the break?
When I restalled the operating system, it gave me two drives, a C drive and an E drive.
What brand computer is this?
It's a Toshiba.
All right, hang tight. We're going to get you some info on that.
We can do such things.
Sure.
We've got lots of resources, as we mentioned, posted about Cyber Monday, or the fallacy of Cyber Monday. Online, datadoctors.com/radio. We got a lot more of your calls, your questions, when we come back right on the other side of the news. Until then, you stick around. We're going to stick around. We're going to caffeinate.
Recaffeinate, actually.
All that. We'll be right back. Stick around.
Hey, welcome back to the Computer Corner. A little more perspective for you on the Cyber Monday phenomenon. It's the best day ever.
Oh, I thought you were yawning over there. I'm like, we're trying to do a radio show here. What's going on?
Caffeine.
Uh-huh.
And a lot of it.
A lack of.
Last year, 2008, Black Friday took in approximately 41 billion with a B. Billions. $41 billion.
Billion.
Billion. Okay.
Wow. Isn't that the cost of the bailout? And
something like that.
So what if we had just taken all the bailout money and thrown it on Black Friday?
And nobody gets Christmas. Put it all on Black Friday. So here's the perspective. Last year, 2008, Cyber Monday took in $846 million versus $41
billion. That's a big
dent. That's not a scratch.
So do the math however you want. It ain't the same thing, folks.
Now,
it is simply a marketing. And again, Cyber Monday is not the busiest online shopping day either.
If you believe the media, though, they're saying this year, Cyber Monday, they expect an uptick.
Well, sure.
35%.
Well, but 30,
really?
35% from, you know.
But if you're if you're an online retailer, you that's got to be great news.
Yeah, 35% uptick for like six online retailers.
Right.
And the rest of them are all going to be fighting for scraps. And I don't think Woot's going to be one of them.
No. I'm looking at the Woot deal today, by the way, if you're even lazier and you can't go click. A SanDisk Clip 2-gig MP3 player. So basically, it's a small little, like a ripoff of the, what's Apple's thing? The Shuffle, right?
No, it's better than that. It's
2-gig.
$15.
but look at the, almost always, this is part of what Woot's deal is. You got to read carefully. It's refurbished, if that bothers you.
That's what it is. It means pre-broken.
Right. Now, some people say that's a bad thing because it was broken once. It's likely to break again. I actually take the other side and say, well, no, it was broken once. They don't design these things to be broken out of the box. They wouldn't make money, right? And so if it was already broken once and they fixed it, it's now been double-checked.
Except that the who checked it
right.
is always the
right.
problem.
Was it the customer that bought it that returned it, or was it found on the factory floor and they put it back in production line and therefore had to call it refurbished.
I know some retailers that are real good at, that are real liberal with their returns.
Right.
And supposedly the stuff's been checked and the pre-broken stuff, oddly enough, is still broken.
Right. This public service announcement brought to you by the extra sticker you'll find on products at the big electronics retailer it used to be down where, what's that place called?
Let's not even go there.
They have a grocery store too.
Something like that.
Yeah, anyway.
So just be careful. This time of year especially in technology, the retailers know you're focused on price.
Mm-hmm.
That's the number one criteria you're going to use. So they're going to get you a price. When you go online and shop, so Frugal, which is Google's product search engine.
They abandoned the Frugal name, by the way.
They did, but if you type Frugal, it'll go to google.com/products.
Right.
It shows you what a large group of retailers is selling a particular product for. And oddly enough, the pricing is always within $5, $10, $15 of each other. So when you see somebody that suddenly has a price that's significantly lower, like we used an SLR camera with Channel 15 last night. Most of the cameras that we saw were in the $469 to $499 range. Suddenly we saw one for $305. Oh my goodness, that's a great deal.
Substantially lower than anybody else. Not $5, not $20. Big difference, right? What's up with that?
Camera body only.
Uh-huh.
Now imagine the surprise of somebody that doesn't read through the fine print.
You bust open the thing. You were doing good. You bought them the camera, quote unquote, and you even got the batteries because you knew, you know, it's nothing worse than getting a gift on Christmas morning. You open it up, no batteries. No, you got the batteries. They open the thing up, they get the batteries, they throw them in there, they're ready to take pictures, and
no lens. SLR. Hello.
And then you look like the cheapskate.
So, first rule of thumb when you're shopping online, when you've been looking and you've got 8 or 10 or 15 different retailers that are all kind of within $5, $10 of each other, $20, and then suddenly somebody's really cheap compared to everyone else.
You know that little voice you hear?
Yeah.
Something must be wrong.
Yes.
Something must be wrong.
The flag is red.
Something must be wrong.
Challenge.
No, I'm excited. It's $100 less. Something
Challenge.
Must be wrong.
The other big deal, for those of you that are new to the online shopping world, before you decide to make a purchase with an online retailer that you know nothing about, you know who Amazon is, you know they've been around, you know what their whole customer service policy is, whatever. But if it's Joe's Tiddlywink Emporium, and you're buying something for the first time.
Digital camera from the Tiddlywink Emporium?
Hey, listen, they get really, they diversify big time this time of year.
Yeah.
Go look at a couple of things, like, can you find a physical address, not a P.O. box, not an email address, but a physical address of the company that you're about to buy something from? Because if you can't, I'm here to tell you.
Something's wrong.
You are probably going to not enjoy the experience.
That's the little voice, by the way.
There's a reason. There's a reason why they're not making their address clearly visible to you.
Why? Something's wrong.
Yes.
You know who cares nothing about any of this?
The guy that's been waiting.
Adrian.
Adrian!
Adrian, who's been hanging out a long time.
This answer better be good, huh, Adrian?
Yes, sir.
So a recap. Adrian has a Toshiba, correct?
Yes.
Is this a notebook or a desktop?
It's a notebook.
All right.
Light.
And so you you decided to load a new operating system. I'm going to take a wild guess and say maybe it's Windows 7?
No, I downgraded it from Vista down to XP.
Now, are you using a Windows XP disk that came from Toshiba, or are you doing your own thing?
I did my own thing.
Okay. When you decided to downgrade, did you remove partitions or did you leave everything that was there and just put the disk in and said, let's wipe it out and start over?
I wiped out and started over.
Okay, but did you actually remove the existing partitions?
So during the Windows installation, it'll come to a critical screen where it asks you, do you want me to leave the partitions intact, which is recommended, quote unquote, or would you like me to remove anything and sort of start all over?
Okay, I think I did the recommended one.
Okay, so if you did that, most computers from big manufacturers these days come with what's generally a hidden partition, except for when you do what you've done. It exposes this hidden partition. It's called a recovery partition. It contains all of the files and things that would be needed to, in theory, put the computer back to the way it was when you bought it.
Right, recovery.
Right, so that's most likely what you're seeing when you say now you see a C and an E drive.
Mm-hmm.
That E drive is most likely that recovery or diagnostic or utility partition.
Which would allow you to go back to Vista.
Woohoo!
How cool is that?
But it seems like it likes to default to the D E drive. Can I default it to the C drive for when I put stuff in the computer?
When you say it likes to default to, what's that mean?
It means it would rather use the E drive instead of the C drive.
Like when you're installing a program, it suggests that it installs it at E:\whatever.
Yeah. How large is this E drive?
It's only 1.45 gigabytes right now.
Okay, and there's stuff on it, right?
Yeah, there's the program files, the Windows.
Oh, wait. So Windows got installed on the E drive?
Yes, it is.
Huh. So it took what was probably the diagnostic or hidden partition and installed Windows. Or, there are some manufacturers, and Sony's big on doing this, where they create a primary partition where they install Windows and sort of the basics, and then they expect you to know to do everything else on the other partition, and that's just sort of
backwards. That's the opposite of what he's saying.
Yeah, but I'm saying maybe those got reversed somehow when he did his downgrade/upgrade.
I don't know,
but what you've got is sounds like a little bit of a mess.
A little bit.
You're asking, is there a way to default it to the other way? And the problem is you've got Windows installed on the smaller of the two partitions, and over time that's going to present you a big problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also the drive letter E. I mean, I hate to tell you, I mean, without seeing the thing, I can only, if you're looking for our suggestion on what to do, you probably want to start over again.
If it were me, I'd back up everything I cared about. I'd put that Windows XP disk back in. And instead of taking what it recommends, I would do let's wipe everything out, remove all the partitions, let's create one new partition and format it, and let's install Windows. And I know it's a lot of work, but long term, if it was me, that's what I'd be doing.
That's a lot of work.
It is
a lot
of work. but you created the work by doing what you did.
Now, there are people out there that will call in and say, no, there's this cool utility called Partition Magic, and it lets you do that. You know what? I've been in the business a long time. Those things occasionally work, and they occasionally don't.
You got a bigger problem. It's the E drive, so now you've got the whole Signatore. The operating system's somehow been installed on the E drive.
Yeah, it's...
It's a mess. That would be the best way to have a good long-term solution. It's not the shortcut. It's not the fast way. It's the best way.
Okay.
Or if you don't want to deal with that drive and you want to kind of leave everything the way it is, pull it out, get a brand new hard drive that's never been used and formatted, and install your new operating system on that, and then put this old hard drive into an external enclosure so you can pull files off of it. Use it as a backup drive.
It's still going to be a lot of work no matter how you slice it, but that's, I mean, you're asking a couple of guys what they'd do, and that's what we do.
That's what we do.
That's what you do.
You know what really helps these really long weekend projects?
Mm-hmm.
Adult beverages.
No, not for me.
No, okay.
Then find
somebody.
If you pull up the partitions on the computer for XP, can you stretch those partitions out or not?
Not with tools built in. You'd have to get third-party software.
That's what he was talking about earlier, that mess. Yeah, partition magic, it's a mess. You know what? Let's put him on hold. He's got, this is very specific to his little world. Let's help him out off the air.
Yeah.
Where everyone listening is going,
what about Cyber Monday, dude?
I don't.
We got a line open, by the way, 602-277-5827. I would say we could take another call, but then Pete would he would actually not get mad at me. He'd just
cut
turn
out.
Off the mic in a second, because that's just the way we roll around here.
He may do it anyway just because you're being that way today.
Yeah, probably. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, more of your calls, more of your questions, more about Cyber Monday or the fallacy of Cyber Monday. Online at datadoctors.com/radio, by the way. Stick around.
Hey there, welcome back to the Computer Corner. We're trying to provide you with some tips and tricks and hints on how to shop online more gooder. Or was it more better?
I like the gooder.
Or most bestest.
You know, I bought the cheap TV last year. I was at Target.
And the
I cheap. The. It was the. They only had 30 TVs. It was 240, 27 inch, and a pallet.
How long did you wait in line?
You know, surprisingly, only an hour. For some reason, everyone missed the TVs, thinking it was going to be in the electronic department. The pallet of TVs was in the clothing department.
Yes.
Cha-ching. So I grabbed me a TV.
And?
Worst TV I've ever bought.
What was our top five holiday tech gotchas? Number one was beware of the cheapest of anything in any category.
And don't buy your electronics where they also sell
mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise.
And underwear. If you are looking for some way to validate or find online retailers that have a decent reputation, one of the links we have on our website today is to the BizRate store rating system. And it's a combination of various reviews from other customers, as well as just some information that's out there. You can get reviews and ratings from this BizRate link. And it's a little different than you might think. I thought, okay, you go look up the name of an online retailer. No, it's the other way around. I'm looking for a digital camera. Show me all of the online retailers that sell digital cameras that have some kind of rating, is how it works. So it's a little less intuitive than I thought it would be. But I suppose if you really don't know who anybody is, that's probably a better way to go about it. It's like, I'm looking for this product. Show me who has a good rating online for this product.
Right, that might help you determine that Tiddlywink Emporium, who had that thing for a way better deal but didn't have an address and that kind of thing, which turns out they're a little scary.
Yeah, there's a buy.com I'm looking on here. They have a smiley face for wood shop here again. They have a smiley face with almost like sunshine, like rays going out at like really,
wow,
really happy for on-time delivery.
Mm-hmm.
Customer support is a smiley face and products met expectations, so... Apparently, by 1 million plus reviews for buy.com.
Now, wait a minute.
Yeah.
1 million plus reviews?
Well, yeah, because what they've done is they've taken every single review that they can aggregate from all over the internet.
Yeah. So then you have to wonder, are the reviews, are they worthwhile?
You don't have to read all million of them, but I'd go at least about 10,000.
Yeah.
Get the real.
And you got to get a sampling.
Yes. Back to the phones, shall we?
I think.
Or shall we not?
Shall we?
Shall we? Yes.
This guy, Dave, has a question that I'm sure is right up Robert's alley. Dave, welcome to the Computer Corner.
Now we are.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
The usual. Hey, we're having a good time.
We're chilling like villains, sir.
You know, I've been following the price of a particular LCD TV since about the springtime. It's a Vizio, 55-inch. The lowest price I've seen it before Black Friday was $1,550, but it's a 120 hertz. Costco had it on sale yesterday for $1,200, but they also had a 240 hertz for 1800. Should I worry about trying to future-proof that TV or just go with the 120 hertz 55-inch LCD at $1,200?
You said one of our favorite words, future-proof.
No such thing, no such thing, no such thing.
So here's two things that I can tell you about electronics that are constants. There will always be something better, faster, newer, cheaper. And so if you want the best deal, wait. And that goes on forever.
Yes. Yeah. And right. And right. With that as the primary goal, you'll never buy anything.
Right, exactly. But that's my point, is that there's always going to be something a little bit better coming, and there's always going to be a price drop coming.
Here's the cool
thing.
And
so you have to decide, where does it end?
Here's the cool thing about TVs. Okay? Right. Forget the gigawatts and the cycles and the hertz and right, because the only hertz you care about is when it hurts you in the pocketbook. So you don't care about that. What you care about is, does this picture please my eye?
Uh-huh.
Right? Because unless you have a lot of money, I don't think you're going to buy 18 different TVs and have them all sitting in your living room. You're going to have the one.
Right.
Right? And that one is going to look spectacular. Right. Until you buy something better and bring it home, because that's what I did.
And you're going to say, dang, I can't believe what a piece of junk that thing was.
You know, one TV to really look at that has a great, great picture are these new LED TVs. And you can find them for about $13.99, 40-inch.
Yeah,
that's the big special.
He's at 55.
55-inch, here will be about $2,100, but that's something revolutionary.
Hey, you know what? When we come back, we're going to give you and everyone else looking at TVs a little tip on how to know what's the right size TV for my room.
Ooh, it has nothing to do with, I just want the biggest one. Nothing to do with that. So make sure you stick around for that. Of course, more of your calls and questions, 602-277-5827. The Computer Corner rolls on when we come back from the break.
The thing I'm having is I just bought a stupid wireless mouse.
But can I do that with Wi-Fi?
Now my screensaver doesn't work.
And that's the solution I'm looking for.
Yep, that would be it.
Something that they call drive-by download.
Okay, stop there.
Try to boot into something called safe mode. Take my advice and go get this free program that is out of this world.
Eliminate those and see if the problem still persists.
Oh, that's a great idea. Okay, I didn't think about that.
Does your computer bite?
There's nothing that comes in the computer that's of any value.
Has your hard drive gone floppy?
The head whack is the thing that makes you kind of go,
don't!
It's time to call the Computer Corner.
We're not your daddy's computer radio show.
Is this thing on?
On News Talk 92.3, KTAR.
Hey, it's hour number two of the Computer Corner. The data doctors are in the house. Ken Culver, Brandon Disney, and Roberts.
De Arezio.
See?
Or De Rezzo for those lazy enough to not
Americanized.
Say.
Rob D.
Rob D.
We'll just call him Rob D.
Rob D in the house.
Or R Diz? No. You're B Diz. No. Anyway, we're talking about Cyber Monday and how to prepare for it. And actually, Cyber Monday, Cyber Tuesday, Cyber Wednesday.
You know the best way to prepare for it?
Stay away.
Don't.
Run away.
Yeah.
There's one other thing I want to bring up, but after we do this. Every week about this time of the show, we bring you a little vernacular of the tech world. Try to give you something that you can use that'll make you sound a little more, geeky. A hip with it within the realm of the tech world. This week's Geek Speak of the Week is movie gating.
Movie gating.
You hear the word, you're going, wait a minute. Here's what movie gating is. You've seen this. You know, there's people, especially at night, there's people like really close, like tailgating another vehicle, or seem to be like really close to them on one side or the other.
Usually an SUV.
Yeah, usually an SUV. They're probably movie gating. They're trying to watch the movie that's going on inside of the SUV in the back seat there.
You know how you tell is you see if their face is glowing from the reflection of the TV.
If the car behind you, if you're in the car behind somebody with that and your face is glowing, you are definitely movie gating.
Now, there was a time I was driving once, and there was a movie going on in the car next to me, and of course you look over. This was in the early days when movie screens were less common, and this guy, I'm sure it was an older teenager, he was showing off his movie screens because there was nobody else in the car, and he had them all flipped down everywhere. And the content was what...
Yeah.
was very. Are you kidding me?
It was
yes,
adult flavored.
Lisa's looking at me like, yes,
in the car.
In the car while he's driving for everybody. He wanted to show off that he had A, movie screens, and B, taste.
He was driving.
He yes. No. He was a leader in this area. He's a pioneer in movie gating. He was trying to encourage movie gating.
And he was going for the shock and awe version.
Apparently, that's just creepy.
You think?
Yeah, a little. Well, I mean, because.
Maybe it's a way to pick up.
What about the
chicks?
People with. Yeah, well, oh, yeah, that'll work. Oh, that's what I'm looking for is a guy driving around watching
certain
porn.
Parts of Europe.
That's horrible.
You know, it's no big deal. They see this all the time, so they ignore it.
Right.
Right.
But we're not in Europe.
Okay, so before we go to my little. I've got a little soapbox thing I want to do about cyber shopping, but. Lisa, you're running into a situation where is this the sign of the apocalypse?
People are coming to Lisa.
No, nobody's.
They're going to Lisa for tech support. This is good.
I don't even want to talk about it now.
It's buying advice. It's not tech support.
Oh, it's buying advice.
Right.
Okay.
Okay. Well, Ken, first of all, because, you know, I took your advice and I purchased the lovely little netbook that has been wonderful for me, that I love taking everywhere and for traveling and school and stuff like that. So a lot of people look at it and go, ooh, that's very cool. And then I have some friends and I know some people that want to that don't have a laptop, which I know that's kind of strange, but or want to buy somebody a laptop, and they're wondering, laptop versus netbook, is there a difference? And the main thing that I know of is there's no CD drive.
But that's not always the case.
Oh.
There are laptops/notebooks. Depending on your terminology,
okay,
that don't have optical drives either.
Oh, the real thin ones, the real slim ones.
Because they don't. Nothing has a CD drive in anymore, by the way. They all have DVD.
Okay,
drives.
A DVD drive. All right, I'm sorry.
I'm just helping you.
Optical, it's an optical drive.
The disky thing that you put in there and it goes.
Right.
Like
the disky thing where it goes again. Yeah,
like
that.
Yeah.
How do you spell that?
not all full blown laptops or notebooks have those, and there are some netbooks that have them. Built in.
Okay, but you're still focusing on the features, which is really not the real core issue.
It's
the question
size, right?
You must not the size. It is the smart car. This is how I normally try to explain it to people that don't really understand it. It's the smart car of the computer world.
Now, when he says smart car, he doesn't mean just
smart,
some car. He means the car that's branded smart, right?
Okay. How many seats does a smart car have?
Is that a trick question?
No.
Oh,
no. I'm asking.
Two? Yeah.
Two.
Right?
And can you get it with more
than
two?
Oh, the ones that look like death on wheels?
Yes.
Okay.
Can you get it with more than two?
No.
Is it have any chance of pulling a boat?
No.
You're going to go off-roading in it?
No.
Will it get you from point A to point B?
Probably.
Will two sets of golf clubs fit in it? I mean, you know, those are the things.
What are you going to use? Can you fit on
that? What are you going to use the car for, right?
Because
if all you want to do is get from from your home to the office and back, and it's just you,
okay,
and you want to save a lot of money, then a smart car makes sense.
Well, a motorcycle makes more sense, except
no.
when you die.
Yeah, that's death.
Right.
And a smart car, you don't.
Excuse me.
On a motorcycle, you're going to be wearing a helmet. Well, not
Oh, yeah, because that's better.
Sure you are.
That's better than all the metal and stuff. Actually, if you want to see an interesting YouTube video, go see the smart car crash test. It's pretty impressive.
And you think it's death on wheels after watching that video?
Maybe not.
You'll think not.
Really?
So
okay,
again,
just feels like it. Anyway, so, sorry.
Do you buy a car without thinking about what you want to use the car for? Right?
No.
So this is how you want to help explain it to your friends is... That's the approach you have to take. This is the smart car of computers. It's not terribly powerful. It's got decent storage. It doesn't have an optical drive. The keyboard's a little bit smaller, so you know what you maybe want to start doing is grabbing their hand and looking at their hand, and if you know they got a bunch of big fat digits, say, no netbook for you.
And your fingers are too fat. You can't handle it. That's
the smart car may actually be the equivalent of a low-end laptop or notebook, where a better comparison might be, you know those things that we used to call them golf carts, but when they're souped up and they have stereos and things, there you can drive them around your community and maybe down to the corner store, but you're never going to go to Flagstaff in it.
Right.
That is probably a better version of the netbook, right? It's great for all kinds of things.
No, to me, that's like a scientific calculator.
Normal people that don't, you know.
Do you have is that your only form of computer you have anywhere access to in your life?
Me?
Right.
No, but see, the thing is that my laptop and, I have a laptop and a netbook. Those are the two
I
use.
Right.
I am very suspicious that the laptop does way more than I need it to.
Yes.
Okay.
90% of the time.
Right.
And so, well,
normal people, it's, you know, I mean, I'm not a gamer. I'm not doing whatever, you know, Zelda or Warcraft or whatever. So.
And 10% of the time, the netbook's not going to be enough power for something you're going to want to do.
Okay. So your advice. So what would
this
be the
defining
exactly,
factor? So if you had the smart car, right?
Right.
Perfect for Monday through Friday, getting to and from work, saves gas, economical, smart choice.
Okay.
Except for when you want to go on the family trip and you have more than two people and some luggage.
Right.
In which case, you need to either rent a real car or own a real car.
Okay.
Right?
So if they have a main computer.
Or UPS yourself all the stuff. And
yeah, I mean, but that's the thing is you have to, you computing is what you want to do with it, not what the shiny little box looks like, right? So that's what they need to focus in on. What are they going to be doing? Because a netbook by design was designed for people that primarily do everything on
the
internet. Okay. The net. That's why they're called netbooks.
Oh.
So if you're checking email and you have a Gmail account, which you should
I signed up for a Gmail account. You should be really proud of me, actually. I meant to tell you that.
Congratulations.
No, you missed it, Brandon. I'm sorry. Don't
millions
start.
And millions of other people.
Don't start. No, you have no idea.
She pulled the same thing that most of our listeners pulled, right? She had a problem with Outlook Express.
Yeah.
She was trying to get it solved so that she goes back and forth. We said, okay, the solution is just get a Gmail account and have it check the pop. Yeah, but then how do I get this? No, just get a Gmail account and all this stuff goes. You never have to worry about that. But how do I get? I don't like your solution. I got.
Ken likes to make me feel like I'm five.
No, no, no.
So.
You're in great company because a lot of people call the show looking for a solution to their problem. They don't like ours.
and don't feel alone.
Don't.
He does it to everybody.
I was going to say it. I know we're not all as brilliant as you guys, but...
Oh, no, it's not that caffeination.
That's right. It's the key to everything.
Speaking
of which, we're overdue for a break. Pete's throwing daggers visually at me. We've got to get caffeinated. Great question. Thank you.
Okay, so...
Did we clear anything up?
Well, if you have a main computer, netbook's fine. If it's your only computer, you probably need to get another one.
Some people, driving to and from work Monday through Friday is all they need in life.
Okay.
Other people like to occasionally go on a trip or go golfing.
When we come we'll talk more about Netflix and see if we can get some more input from people listening. Stay tuned for more.
Welcome back to the Computer Corner. We're 66% less free, apparently. I think they thought it was a bigger break than it was. But anyway, we're going to trounce on nevertheless. We were talking about the difference between netbooks, notebooks, laptops, all these different terms you hear flying around out there. What do they mean and what do you care? And I think what we got down to is that if you want to ever go golfing, you can't have a netbook?
Correct. See?
No.
No, I mean, it's very unusual for anyone to be able to use just a netbook as their only computer in their life.
Right.
So that maybe should be the starting point for everybody. Is this a netbook in my world is for very specific tasks or short trips where I don't want to carry a big heavy laptop or as a second internet terminal at home, or it's a fill-in computer. It's not the primary.
And it may not be the same for you. If you're my son, he's 8 years old. A netbook would be almost perfect for him because you know what he does on my computer at home? He gets on Club Penguin's website. He gets on Webkin's website. He gets on Nick Jr.'s website. He gets on 99% of what he does. He has a farm in Farmville on Facebook.
Of course.
These are all the things he does. Guess what all those have in common? They're all on the internet. Thus the term netbook.
And it's small fingers.
And he doesn't need to install software because he doesn't install anything without my permission. So not having an optical drive is probably better anyway. And B, probably at this point, probably wouldn't know exactly what to do, although it wouldn't take him much to figure it out, right? So,
those parents that are out there thinking a netbook's the perfect solution to send your first-year college student?
No. Could your first-year college student open up Word and write a document? Absolutely. Could they open up Excel and do some calculus? Absolutely. No problem. Can they check their email? It doesn't all have to be about the net, but...
Underpowered.
It's going to start showing some problems as they start doing more of these things, especially if while they're writing that Word document, they're trying to collaborate with someone else through chat, and they've got to do a little research via Google and some encyclopedia online. Now they got four or five things open, these things start to crawl.
And the other thing is the lifestyle is so multitask, the whole environment that they're going to live in a college environment. So, by the way, do we have time for my rant, or do we want to go to a phone? Callers are more important.
Is this a 20-minute rant, a 10-second rant?
No, go ahead.
I've got something you're going to actually enjoy.
Let's go with it.
This is a mystery. Barry.
A mystery.
Hi.
Welcome. You are, or your question is, a mystery, an enigma. It's all wrapped up.
Yeah, it sure is. I just started about a week ago on my desktop. At 7:58 each morning, it plays a little song, like somebody pressing a few notes on the keyboard over and over for the last maybe 20, 30 seconds. And I looked on the task manager to see if there's no applications running. I was wondering if is there something in...
Remember the Yankee Doodle virus?
Yeah.
I wonder if I got the virus.
Yeah, there was a virus years ago that would play music.
Over a decade ago.
Yeah, I mean, these days I don't know of anything. I mean, unless you don't have antivirus software and you are at really weird places, I can't imagine it's going to be virus related.
I'm all up to date on McAfee, and I've done a full system scan on McAfee a couple times.
Yeah, no, I don't think it's a virus. You said it's 7:58 a.m. every day?
Every day.
So do you know how to get into your task scheduler inside of Windows?
That's through the control panel. I looked on scheduled tasks.
No, you click on start, and then programs are all programs.
Uh-huh.
And then you're going to go to accessories.
Okay.
And finally, I believe it's under system tools, you'll find the task scheduler.
Yeah, that's what he just said. He just looked at the task scheduler.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. You were busy. You were busy thinking.
Busy thinking and not listening. Sorry, Barry.
You were in a wait.
No, I don't have any scheduled tasks at all.
You were in a wait state.
In a wait state, yes.
Wait.
So the reason I was asking is obviously if something that happens exactly at the same time every day is generally it's going to it, maybe there's an alarm clock program that got installed.
Yeah, that was my first thought.
There's a couple places. It sound like you know what you're doing, so you might want to go and reboot your machine and go into the BIOS just to make sure there's not something in the physical hardware of the computer. The second thing I'd try is at about 7:55 tomorrow morning, reboot into safe mode and see if you still get the same sound.
Okay,
because that'll quickly tell you, is it a hardware issue or is it the operating system?
And watch the computer real carefully around that time to see if you see anything flash on the screen, anything happen, right, versus the sound just starts playing and nothing occurred visually.
Oh, okay, yeah, because normally what happens, I'm laying in bed and I hear the sound and I get up and look. But
yeah, there are temperature gauge alerts in the BIOS. There's all kinds of possibilities. Now, why it's 7:58 every day?
And if all else fails,
hire a priest.
Unplug the speakers and hire a priest.
Great. All right. Well, thanks for your pointers. Right. I'll take a look and see.
All right. Get back to us. Let us know. And with that,
we got a break.
Yes.
And we're going to get you caught up with all kinds of things. And we're going to really caffeinate. At least I will this time. Welcome back to the Computer Corner. I couldn't tell if you were going to do it or if I was going to do it.
No, remember, this is my rant section. Segment.
Ken's rant segment. So you've got to save up and get ready, take a deep breath, because
I'm trying to hold it in.
A flood of rant is going to come forthrightly from Ken's mouth.
Actually, it's not a rant. It is more of
a passionate discussion?
Food for thought.
Hmm.
As we are all aware in this down economy, one of the impacts of a down economy is that our cities and state run into constant funding issues, right?
Yes.
Tax base is decreasing. And
I've seen a bunch of signs up in the town I live in now that asking everybody driving past to shop local. Please keep your dollars here. Interesting.
Well, think about this. That's exactly the point I was going to make. Before you just assume that your best purchase, and I don't mean the lowest price, because it may or may not be the lowest price either, which I'm going to give you a little hint or two on that.
Uh-huh.
Is it really in your best interest to take your money and send it to another state, to another place, right? So you don't pay tax, but you pay shipping.
Okay.
In some cases, the shipping and the tax balance each other out, depending upon the price of the product.
What happens when they have free shipping, though? You're saying I should spend more money just to keep it local? Why isn't the local guy getting more competitive?
Shipping's only important if you need it shipped, right?
Right.
If you can go to the corner store and pick it up, there's no shipping there. There is a tax issue.
Okay.
The question is, are you clear that you're contributing to this problem by taking the dollars that you would have normally kept in your community,
mm-hmm.
right? And in some cases, it's so far away, it's the spread is so different that Yeah, absolutely. It's just,
if you're going to save $100, I mean, then the local guy's got to get more competitive, or he's going to lose the business, and the tax base is going to lose.
But
I mean,
that's the second part of this thing is, don't assume that the local retailers won't match the price, because a lot of them will.
And a lot of them have the ability for you to shop at their site and pick up at their store.
Correct. But the saving tax, I get that. But do you get that? Out there listening, do you understand what that means?
Can I buy a car online?
If in fact, you certainly can.
Save the tax?
There's all kinds of ways.
But wait, when I get a license plate on it, they probably want me to pay then, don't
they? There is that as well.
Dang it.
But think about your community. Uh-huh. The city of Phoenix, the city of Glendale, the city of Mesa, they're all dealing with these deficits. And part of the problem is the increase in online shopping.
Oh, an email.
And email.
I've heard of that, too.
No, the email's killing the post office. Done killed it. Killed.
Did.
So anyway, that's all I'm saying is that I don't think people really put the two together. But that's all part and parcel of, you know, this all impacts us directly. When you complain about all that construction, it's taking forever, and those potholes, why don't they get filled, and why don't we have more purple cars on the light rail,
more lanes on the freeway.
you're not suggesting, though, that I purposely, just to increase revenues for my town or city or whatever, or my state, I purposely decide to pay more because I want to be a good guy.
No,
you're
saying
make sure to do your homework and don't assume that the online price is better because of your assumption that they have less overhead and therefore can charge you whatever your assumption is. Stop assuming. That's your point, right?
Absolutely. Well, and what's your time worth? And do you really want to take the chance, especially as we get closer to the holiday drop-dead dates, of, well, is it going to get here in time or not?
Is it going to be damaged in shipping?
Is it going to be damaged? Do I have time to return, or what's going on? The ultimate really is what you referred to earlier, which is clicks and bricks.
Yep.
Right?
All the big guys, Target and Walmart and all these guys, they have that, right? You shop at their site, and you can even complete your purchase and then walk into your local store and pick it up.
And some of these
never pay shipping on that kind of stuff.
Pretty convenient.
Yeah, and some of these larger retailers, because they have a presence in each community, they have to charge a tax anyway.
Right.
So, I mean, the tax, just because you're buying it online doesn't mean you skate the tax.
Right. Do people get that, by the way?
I don't think so.
That if you buy it online and the place you're buying it from, as an example, Walmart.com, if they have a presence in your local market, which they do because
they're everywhere.
They're Walmart, right? Then they have to charge you the sales tax regardless of the fact that you bought it online. They charge you the sales tax of the area that you're buying from, where they're shipping it to, basically, right?
Based on your zip code, right?
So you don't say the thought that buying online avoids you paying sales tax, and that's just not the case in a lot of cases. And it's more than just those big guys. It's some of the less big guys and some of the smaller guys, too, plus what we talked about, shipping and what happens if it's damaged. You explain to your 7-year-old when they open up that gift that it's a little bit damaged, but we're going to get a new one, so you can't take this one out and play with it because we got to ship it back. But
that's what you got.
It's cool.
That's why you always keep a spare Juju pet in the closet.
You buy double. That's the way to save.
Anyway, just something to think about. It's not an all or nothing thing. It's not like everything you're going to buy needs to be, you know, local, and not everything you need to buy is. It's not. But that stuff that's in between, I mean, just think about it. That's all.
Well, when it comes in broken, you could always tell your child, too, well, you were going to break it anyway. So.
Oh, that's really good.
That's the way to be. Or you can buy them a tube of super glue and say a second present.
Let me give you a little word of advice. Don't become a parent. Back to the phones.
I think it's a little late. You can't put them back. Back to the phones. Ken?
Yes.
We have Ken.
Ken?
Yes.
Great name.
Thank you.
What can we do for you?
Well, I heard a lot of buzz about Windows 7, how great it was going to be and all of that, so I went ahead and bought it the day it came out over at Costco because they had such a great deal on a 3-license package.
The family edition?
Yes.
All righty.
But I haven't loaded it yet because I haven't really heard anybody say that it's as good as everybody said it was going to be.
Have you heard this show before?
Not for a while.
So I'm not an early adopter by nature. I generally don't get the earliest, latest, even though that's the business and the world and things that I live and breathe.
Hold on, let's be real. You don't use it for your primary important equipment.
Generally, yes.
We certainly put it on machines.
Oh, yeah, we try junk out all the time, yeah, of course. Okay. But I don't generally rely on it. both my home computers and my work computer all are running Windows 7 as we speak.
That's the same at my house.
So there's a couple of guys sitting in this room telling you that if you, by all means, do I need it? Absolutely not. But I have access to it. I did it, and I don't regret it at all.
What are you running now?
Vista.
You're going to like life better than you like life today.
Well, that's what I wanted to hear.
Yeah. It's definitely an upgrade for people that are running Vista, in my opinion, for everybody, with very few exceptions. For people running XP, your mileage may vary. I think you're going to like it. Whether or not it's something you need to do, probably not. But
so now here's the small print. Here's the fine print.
Yes.
Are you having any current issues with your existing computer?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Then, if you did this to eliminate those current issues, you may be in for a surprise.
Yes.
If you got this to say, you know, I'm having all these problems, so let me just put this in over the top of my Vista, and all these problems hopefully will go away.
Well, there are problems with I'll be running something in Internet Explorer, and it'll just die for no reason.
That's not normal, even with Windows Vista. Windows Vista wasn't necessarily anything bad. It just got a bad rap, in my opinion.
Wasn't compatible.
So that what you explained, that's not normal. And if that's an issue you're having, I would never upgrade an operating system hoping to solve a problem that I'm having with the actual computer operating properly. It's the equivalent of if you've got a bad engine problem and you got smoke coming out every time you start the car, putting in premium unleaded, that's not going to solve the problem. I'm not Mark Salem, but I know that my car is not going to like me for putting in better gas, and it's simply not going to solve the problem. And upgrading to a new operating system is not going to solve a major problem you already have.
But it'll run a little faster?
It might not run at all.
If you've got a problem. The rule is solve the problem first, then go ahead and do that upgrade.
Okay.
Or if you're going to do the upgrade as a clean install, wipe it out, start all over, then that, in essence, is solving the problem along with the upgrade.
I have a lot of people coming in that try to put the Vista put Windows 7 over Vista with problems carried over, and sometimes it don't even run afterwards.
Yeah, they've got viruses, they've got spyware. The thing's running really slow. They stick in the disk. Half an hour later, they're frustrated, and now they've got a bigger mess.
Yep.
Okay. I seem to think some of my problems are between my antivirus software and Vista's built-in antivirus stuff.
Well, there's no built-in antivirus in Vista. There's all kinds of built-in security, and there's even better and enhanced security in Windows 7. But none of the Windows operating systems to date come with built-in antivirus.
Oh, okay.
Never have, yeah. They do. Microsoft does, for the first time, have a free antivirus program that you can install, the Windows Security Essentials.
And so far, it's meeting with our approval. It's pretty good stuff.
It's as good as any of the other free ones that are out there.
Yep.
But do you understand here that there's a couple things you have to decide. One is, it's possible, okay, there's a possibility that you could take the Windows 7 upgrade, put it on your machine, and a lot of the stuff that you're experiencing will go away.
Yes.
It's possible. It's also possible that you're going to take what's already there and what's the medical word?
Mung it up.
Exacerbate the situation.
Oh, you went that way.
Yeah. So how are we going to know what's going to happen in your case? Do you happen to have a time machine?
Crystal ball, perhaps.
The time machine would be to make an exact image of the hard drive, right?
Right.
So that if you do the upgrade and things don't go well, you go back to Vista the way it was. Then you go and figure out, you know, what's going on, get it cleaned up, get it fixed, then do the upgrade again.
Still, the better advice is fix all the problems first, then come to the dark side.
Yeah, but maybe he's a gambling guy. I mean, it's black. He put it all on Black Friday.
All right. No backup, just go.
Oh yeah,
throw caution to the wind.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I have an external hard drive that I back up to regularly.
Fantastic.
Well, but you understand the difference between that and what I was talking about with an image?
Yes.
Okay.
So Ken, you already went out and you did the hardest part, which was you made the purchase, right?
Sure.
That's the hardest part, at least emotionally, mentally, right?
So, well, hang on.
So now what you've got left is
the hard part's opening the package. As long as it's not open, I can still return it.
Yeah. So I mean. To me, you've already bought the stuff, you got it, you're ready to rock and roll, you've got a good backup. What do you got to lose?
You wipe it out and start over again if you have to. Now, just make sure, I don't know if you see on the package, there's a 62-bit and a
62-bit.
It's a 62-bit and a 34-bit. 32-bit and a 64-bit.
Right.
And if you have a 32-bit Vista and you try to put a 64-bit Windows 7 upgrade on, it's not going to work.
Oh, okay. Well, I've got both 32 and 64-bit discs.
Okay, then make sure you use the 32, because I'm sure that's what you have on your old machine.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
All right.
Break time.
Thank you very much.
Good luck with that, sir.
Beef jerky time.
That opens up a line 602. Actually, why should I even bother? We're almost at the end of the show.
What
we're going to have one final segment.
You got to be kidding
me. We're going to wrap things up. So we're going to take a quick timeout when we come back. It's Mike. Stick around.
Hey, it was a shortcut weekend on this week's newsletter.
Shortcut weekend?
Yeah.
That's like cyber black shortcut weekend day.
If you have Windows 7 or Windows Vista, did you know if you hold down the Windows logo key and then hit the number 1, the first item on your quick launch bar will launch?
What if I don't have a Windows key?
You have to have a Windows key.
Well, I don't have any key.
If I have an old keyboard, I don't have a Windows key.
If you have an old keyboard, you don't have Vista or...
Sure, I do. I have a PS2 adapter for my old AT keyboard. I have a keyboard that has an XDAT switch on it.
Then I'd suggest you upgrade there.
But I like the way it feels.
Yeah. The 90s called. They want their keyboard back.
The beige keyboard?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So if you have 8 or 10 different icons, actually 9.
Right.
10. It might even go to 10.
0.
I didn't test it.
Maybe.
But basically, you can just launch those applications right from that.
It's Windows. The things in your quick launch.
And then our head whack of the week from the newsletter is those of you that work in an environment with other folks, either within your family or if you work at a cube farm where everybody kind of looking over and kind of nosy.
Mm-hmm.
You want to make sure that when you leave your desk, they're not checking what's on your screen.
Mm-hmm.
Windows logo key,
mm-hmm.
The Win key, plus the letter L.
Oh, I thought you were going to have something with electric shock.
Well, I could.
That'd be more fun.
You might have to check with your employer.
Touch my keyboard, Robert. I dare you.
your mileage may vary. Also in this week's newsletter, a little insight into what could make the Chrome OS, that's Google's new operating system that they're working on, kind of for the cloud.
Are they working on it, though? I mean, it's out, right?
No. The first demo was out. Chrome, the browser's been out.
Yeah.
The operating system, they're still...
Oh, the operating system.
And one of the things that they're building into it is sandboxing and auto-update. So you... Tweaky people, you might want to look into that.
Sandbox? I don't even think I know.
You know what sandboxing is?
Yeah, I got that on auto updates. What?
Yeah. Real time because it's in the cloud.
Right, like sort of virtual testing and whatever.
How about paper-thin batteries made from algae?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. Think about
that's crazy.
Down the road, your gift wrapping, because it is capable of actually storing power, could actually say happy birthday in flash and...
Huh? But what's really cool... This is a big deal for me. I never know what to do with batteries that no longer function. You can't throw them away. That's not the right thing to do. I don't know what to do with them. If they're made out of algae, I'm assuming I can just throw them in the garbage now.
Or recycle them in your garden.
Whatever. Yeah. But either way, I no longer have to wonder, what do I do with dead batteries?
Exactly.
That solves my problem.
Also, Lance Ulanoff's What Not to Buy in 2009. That's a good one.
Well, shouldn't we be worried about what not to buy in 2010 since...
No, because you still have a month left.
Ah, true enough.
What not to buy during the holiday season. And then my column on taking better holiday pictures, including my tip on the poor man's tripod.
Poor man's tripod.
One of the best ways to take better pictures is to keep the camera still. Silly.
Right.
Well, a tripod.
I have to ask my wife to...
Hold still.
Hold really still.
Yeah, exactly.
Balance on your head.
No, if you take a piece of string, right? That's twice the size. You know, if you're 5 feet tall, you make it 10 feet.
Okay.
Loop it together.
Uh-huh.
Get a little screw at the hardware store so that it fits into the bottom of the camera, you know, the little camera mount.
I feel you.
Tie the string to that.
Okay.
Step into the loop with your feet, right? About shoulder width.
Okay.
Then pull the camera up, and that creates this triangle.
What?
That's pretty cool.
The string, right? You're holding...
I'm not visualizing this thing.
You got the big loop of string.
Got that.
Put your feet on top of the string at the bottom.
Just in one spot or in two spots?
With both your feet.
Together?
No.
Shoulder width?
Shoulder width. Right?
Okay. I feel it now.
And all you do to raise and lower the height is spread your feet a little further
do
or
the
bring
splits.
Them a little bit. Right?
I feel you now.
And so you get the proper height. And because you're pulling it taut, right, it tends to stay a lot more still than if you are trying to figure out how to do it.
So you see some guy doing the splits with string and a camera.
Then he used too much string.
Now, if you're going to be doing this for a long period of time, like over the course of a few-hour photo shoot, I'd recommend a tripod.
I would too. But think about this.
Uh-huh.
My tripod fits in your pocket.
I've seen those ones that collapse way down, but none of them are going to fit in my front pocket.
Those ones and don't. Are we done?
Do they rhyme? Mike had a question about updates failing, and Mike, we're going to get you off the air because you've been so patient to
Well, to survive.
He gets one-on-one commercial free help.
That's what he gets. So, Mike, you stick around for that for the rest of you. And that does mean you and you and your loved ones that are listening that you're thankful for.
DataDoctors.com/radio for the show. DataDoctors.com/help for our free help website.
Yes. Facebook.com/DataDoctors.
Right. So you can get our early warning system.
All throughout the week.
Twitter, the DataDoc.
The DataDoc is my handle on Twitter. And, of course, then there's the newsletter that you should all be subscribing to.
You can find links to all those things at one place, DataDoctors.com/radio. Look for the links there for all the various things we just mentioned. Of course, if you missed any part of the show, all the content's there. The audio archive will be there very shortly.
And don't forget, Cyber Monday is mostly marketing. You're not going to lose out if you wait till Cyber Tuesday.
Don't lose your job over it. There's enough of you already with lost jobs.
Ciao.